Welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels, Inc., seeking to encourage, equip, and empower leaders in ministry around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter.
And I'm Autumn Bedingfield.
And this is Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have Brooke Carita. Brooke serves as the community pastor at Riverstone Church. She's full of wisdom and full of grace, and I'm so grateful for her taking the time to sit down and talk with us today. Here's my conversation with Brooke Carita. Hey, Brooke, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day today to come and join us on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
The podcast kind of develops, we are doing something where one week we're telling the story of one of the leaders that CV serves, and the next week providing topical content to equip them in ministry. And so today we're going to talk about emotional and spiritual health. And I wanted you to come on because you have been such a huge influence in my life in pursuing emotional and spiritual health, too. So I think you are the perfect person to have this conversation with. So if you would maybe introduce yourself and give us a little background of who you are and how you got to where you are now.
Okay, well, I am the community pastor at Riverstone Church in Kennesaw, Georgia. And that really, though, doesn't have anything to do with my emotional and spiritual health background. That has been more of a, that has begun as a personal journey for me years and years ago, because I really grew up in a lot of dysfunction. So this journey of emotional spiritual health started for me years ago, just my own personal journey, and just believing that there was more, that the Lord really had this place where families could be healthy and people could be whole, and what would that look like? And I hadn't seen a lot of that in the family I grew up in, and just wanting, like, what I said I believed and what the Bible said, if it was true, then it needed to translate into some way into my life that was real and transformational. And so that has just been a lot of my personal journey with the Lord.
So if we're looking at emotional and spiritual health, what is the standard of what we should be looking to say, I am emotionally and spiritually healthy? How does one know if they are healthy or not?
Well, I would say, first, we're all going to have areas of unhealth at different times and different seasons of our life. I think it's just part of the journey. So I don't think there's any shame. I hate for there ever to be this standard where it's just like, I can never meet it. But at the same time, I don't want us to enter into this thought that one day we'll arrive. So I think we're always working towards, how can I be the healthiest version of myself today in this season, and knowing we're going to grow and we're going to develop more skills and more tools as our relationship with the Lord grows and as we grow in our community of people that we're in. But I would say just some markers where you could look and say, am I operating at my best? Peter Scazzaro put these out, and it was these four things, and I think they're just super helpful to me. And the first one is, when something is happening, when things are difficult or there's a crisis, am I able to remain relational? Am I able to stay connected to people around me? Am I able to stay relational with the Lord? The next thing would be, can I act like myself? Like, am I the same person in every situation? And I know, like, there are situations and people that you're able to be more comfortable with and more open with, but I just, you know, am I showing up at work and at home, and am I the same person in all of those places? And then, can I endure hardship when nothing is changing? Mm-hmm. You know, can I stay in the fight? Can I stay in there even when it looks like, you know, this may be a situation that is not going to change anytime soon, or maybe it's not ever going to change? Can I stay hopeful? Can I stay connected to the Lord? And then the fourth thing would be, can I return to joy? Mm. And we grieve, we go through difficulties, we'll be sad. You know, this isn't like a perpetual happiness thing, but even in the most difficult times, can I return to this place of joy where I really have hope in who God is and in the future?
So at what point would you say, looking at those four things, you know, I think you know, we're not going to hit all four all the time, but at what point does it become kind of a red flag? How many of them are like, what point does it become a red flag if you can't remain relational and you're not acting like yourself?
I would say, I would look for patterns. Look for patterns in your life over, and not just like, you know, right now, if we're looking at the pandemic, like as I'm saying this and we're living in this pandemic, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I in any of these things? But I would say look over seasons of your life. And do you have a string of difficult, like, are there a lot of broken relationships? Do you just struggle with this pattern of lashing out or not being the person you want to be in certain situations, and like what's triggering those situations? And do you just have an overall struggle with joy? You know, is it when I look back over the last year of my life, do I just have moments of joy, or do I really have like this inner peace that can take me back to joy? So I think the patterns are the biggest piece. And, you know, usually we kind of know when something's wrong. We just don't always slow down long enough to face it. And I think if you're taking the time to slow down and ask yourself the question, and if you have some good community around you, like a group of people that you trust and that you have given permission to speak into your life, that's also a good way. Like, I have had people that will say to me, you know, I am worried about you right now. Are you okay? You don't seem like yourself. And that's a red flag to me. Like, okay, if people around me are noticing something's going on, then this is more than just something that's like in my head that I'm dealing with. Like, it is now leaking out into my daily life, and I've got to take a minute to deal with it.
So why does it matter for us to pursue health?
Well, I think if you go back to Genesis, when the Lord created us, we were created to be emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy, and we were whole. We were made in God's image, and there was nothing lacking. We were living in wholeness and abundance and intimacy with God, and that was the plan. That is still the plan. That is why Jesus came, is so that we could still live out the plan of God. Even in a fallen world, this offer is still to live in wholeness and abundance.
When pursuing wholeness, can someone pursue emotional health without pursuing physical or spiritual health? Or do you think they all have to be a joint pursuit together for wholeness?
I think they're very connected. And we, as people, we probably tend to have areas that are stronger than others. So I would not say to you, if you have health struggles and challenges in that area, that you're never going to be emotionally or spiritually healthy. But I do think we have to pay attention to ourselves as a whole person. We need to be drinking water, which I'm saying to myself today, as I've had none. And, we need to get some physical exercise. And so there's this physical component to who we are that we have to pay attention to. And there's the emotional part and the spiritual part. And you can't ignore one and think that the others are going to be at their best.
Where do people begin with pursuing emotional and spiritual health?
I think one of the first things that you have to be willing to get very real with yourself and with the Lord. I think it starts there. And if you can have some honest conversations with what you're experiencing. And what helps me is when I, especially in crisis, like there's so much going on in my head and I feel like there's so much noise going on around me, what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're experiencing. And so if I can get still and just write down what it is, like sometimes I'll just write, what am I feeling? Like right this second, what do I feel? And I don't have to justify why I feel that way. I don't have to do anything but just say, yes, like right now I feel angry or I feel overwhelmed and just sort of get that out of you so you can kind of start clearing out the clutter, because trying to get to a place of real stability while you're in crisis can be challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest challenges right now too is there's so much happening we don't have any control over. Mm-hmm. And so that can kind of get mixed up with our own personal stuff. And I heard this the other day and I thought this was really good. And it talked about just to make a list of everything happening that you can't control, that's affecting you, that's bothering you. Like, just write down the things that you're worrying about that you have literally no control over. Mm. And when you look at that, it's kind of like, wow, there is so much that I'm spending time on and I'm spending energy on that I really have like no actual influence over how this goes. And then we can leave that in the Lord's hands and just say, you know, I'll be honest. This makes me very afraid and I'm really struggling with this, but I can also honestly say, as I look at it, I can do nothing to change it. Mm-hmm. And just having that kind of honest conversation with the Lord and leaving that there, and then moving on to kind of making another list of what can I do today? What do I have control over today? Which is how I respond to things or how I manage my resources that I have right now, whatever they are. If you have a lot of time on your hands, or if you have financial resources right now and other people don't. So what can you do with your financial resources, and what can you do with the technology that you have? What can I do with what I can manage? What does the Lord want me to do with that? And I think it kind of gives you some sense of control back over what's going on, even as you let go of all the things you can't control, but you start focusing on, oh, here's where I have some room to move. Here is where I can operate and partner with the Lord and not with fear. When you've been home this much, wherever you are, if you're stuck at home or you're with family or you're isolated by yourself, it's like everything is magnified. So things that you're going to notice, things that maybe you didn't notice before. And some of that is good. But if we get too introspective about it without inviting the Lord in and without inviting some trusted voices in, we can just go into a spiral with that. Like, we can just start feeling like, wow, I am so messed up. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we all have areas we need to grow. And we all have things we can work on. And so I think it's clearing out just the junk that gets in the way so that we can really focus on what is it? What are some steps I could take that will move me more towards health, but not let ourselves get totally overwhelmed with everything we would like to fix.
And I feel like my perspective is that it's a common misconception among Christians that it's not okay to seek personal health. I feel like a lot of people struggle with the idea about doing stuff for themselves, thinking that's selfish or thinking that is taking time away from serving others. So what would you say to that misconception to help people realize maybe it's okay to seek their own personal health sometimes?
I think some of that, like in American culture, you have, when we talk about self-care, that can get really messed up over here. And it can get real, like the stereotypical, like take a bubble bath, and not that there's anything wrong with that. But like what we're talking about here is real soul care and real spiritual care that's connected to the Lord. And when I am the healthiest version of myself, then I have strength to bring to my community. I have strength to bring not just to my immediate family, but to the community of people that I serve. You know, as leaders, we're out there, and Jesus talks about people hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And it's almost like when you get to encounter who Jesus really is, it is like this cold drink of water. And what is in your pitcher to pour out for people? If you're taking care of yourself the way the Lord wants you to, then you do have that cold drink of water for somebody. But if you're not, like, is this dirty? Is this like mixed up with all your own junk and issues and pain? Because you cannot impart something that you don't possess. We can look at the life of Jesus even. He came, he was here such a short amount of time when you look at the history of humankind. And he was only in ministry for a very short amount of time. So, and I think in our mind, we would be like, I got to maximize every second of this. I've got to work 12-hour days and I've got to just push through because I don't have long. And Jesus was not in a hurry. He pulled away by himself. He went and spent time with his Father. He spent time just hanging out with the disciples and living life with them. And he went to weddings and he went to funerals and he lived in the midst of ministering. And I think he's our example of what does a healthy, whole person look like? He's our model.
There's a perfect balance of intentional ministry time and then just a life of discipleship and enjoying the rhythms of life and attending those things. How can people begin to maybe start some new rhythms that allow time for rest? And so, and just having that, trying to remain relational with the Father, and that is the fuel of ministry. And so what are some steps that we all need to take to get that work, ministry, rest balance in life?
Well, I would say, one, recognize what your weakness is. I like to have a project that I can see results from. And so the last, whatever, how are we on week like 9,000 of this pandemic? basically, I have had like a yard project because I can see I'm stuck. You know, I'm stuck here at home. I can't do what I would normally be doing. So I'm like, I can see tangible results when I do something in my yard, and which is fine until I get like nutty with it. And then my family resents me because I feel like they should all also be 100% in my yard projects so that we're all being productive and having a sense of accomplishment. And so that's my weakness, is I can just get a little too driven at times and I can stop being relational. And I think knowing what are your tendencies? You know, what is it that you tend to do when you start operating in your own strength? What does that look like? Because I think being able to recognize it is a key to being able to change it. And so I have to be very intentional about my time with the Lord. And I usually, even in this, like even with all my little projects, I have time with the Lord in the morning. But then I can shut that off if I get into a project, and that can just become my whole focus. So learning how to pull him into every aspect of our day and what we're doing, and learning what our body needs. Like, some people need a lot more rest than other people, you know, physical rest. And what is it that your body needs as far as food and nutrition? I can, even in my house, like if I have some protein, I'm okay. But the people in my house are not that way. They're like, we need more food. Like we need more than like a piece of chicken. And because that's what their body needs. And just getting very in touch with our own needs. And that is not in a way that is like self-focused or selfish. It just is like, so we can be our best. So we don't crash. So we don't burn out, you know, so we don't give ourselves to ministry and then in 3 or 4 years we're done. Because this is a journey. And so I think the main key is how do you personally stay in the relational part of your journey with the Lord without going into accomplishment, achievement, performance, pleasing people? Wherever, you know, wherever you tend to fall into unhealth, mm-hmm. How do you align yourself in a relationship with the Lord? Because he's really the one that keeps us in the right rhythms of life.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to start noting those patterns of what they themselves need in a practical way to where they can notice if they're being selfish or not? Because I know personally, if you told me to go figure out what I need for myself for a day, I might tell you, well, I really need 10 hours of Netflix. Like, truly, that is something my body needs. But we know that that's not true. That's just what I'm telling myself. So what are some practical ways people could figure out what they need, but also be honest about it in a way that's productive and glorifying to the Lord?
Well, okay. So I would say, first of all, we are going to assume the motivation of people's hearts in this is to really honor the Lord. Because if that's not someone, if that is not their motivation, it won't matter what kind of path or technique you put in front of them. They will figure out how to work the system to get where they want to be.
To get that Netflix. Yes.
Which I say that because, like, years ago, I wanted to lose weight, and I went on Weight Watchers. And it was like, you do points. Like, you get so many points for the day, and you can spend them however you want. But when the points are gone, they're gone. And I figured out that, like, I could totally operate within my points with, like, Coke and M&Ms. And so, like, I'm working the program, and I am not going outside of my points. But I wasn't actually moving towards health. Like, that clearly was not the goal in my life. It was like, how can I still have all the sugar that I want and not be, you know, 500 pounds?
Same.
Okay. So if what we're trying to do with the Lord is like, how can I say I'm a Christian, but still really do what it is I want to do? And so I'm saying, it's always that pull on surrender. Like, how do we surrender to what the Lord wants and take care of ourselves? And so I say all that just to say, my answer is in the vein of, my assumption is you really want to find the Lord's rhythm for your life. You really want to find that. That doesn't mean you won't have struggles within it. It just means that really is the desire of your heart. So what steps would I say that you would take? One is, like I said, I like to write things down. So I would write down, just off the top of my head, what is it that I think I need today? And I would write it down, and I would not edit it. And then I would look at it and invite the Lord into it and ask Him, why I think I need those things. There have been times that I have thought of the most frivolous things and started to dismiss them. And then the Lord was like, no, you really do need that. Like, I had one day and I thought, all I want to do today is go have lunch with a friend. I don't want to think about anything else. I just want to go to lunch with a friend, which is so not important in the big scheme of things. And the Lord was just like, no, you need to go have lunch with a friend. Because I needed to have some connection, and I needed to have a place of just being with somebody that I enjoyed being with. And so I think we need to see, too, when we go back to Genesis and we look at what God created for man, it was not a utilitarian world. It was not dirt and wheat, and it was this beautiful garden that was full of, like, every good thing, and it was full of closeness. And even after He made it all, He was like, oh my gosh, He shouldn't be in this alone. He needs somebody with Him. And I think sometimes we have this misconception that the Lord just wants to give us the bare minimum. And that is not who He is. It's not who He's ever been. So He has really good things for us. He has more than we could even imagine. And I think, one, if we can accept that, we stop feeling like we have to hold on so tightly to the things that we feel like we need to make it through. So accepting that He has good things for us, accepting that He wants good things for us, and then just looking at, again, I go back to, you kind of have to look at your days, like look back over the last season and see, what is the pattern? What am I struggling with? Am I struggling with am I feeling down? Am I feeling depressed? Do I have just no energy? Am I feeling like I'm isolated? Where do I see my struggle? And then start asking some really good questions about that. Am I isolated because of the season of life I'm in and it's just hard to have the time to connect? Or am I isolated because I'm afraid to try to connect with people? And the more you ask yourselves these questions and answer them honestly, the more clues you get to the next steps that you need to take.
What if someone's listening to this and like, wow, that is not a journey I think I'm willing to open. I don't think I'm willing to open that can of worms yet. If there's a fear around doing the work.
Well, I think a couple things is when we talk about it like this, it can sound overwhelming and it can, but when you're doing it with the Lord, He's so good to not overwhelm you. You know, He's so good to bring you piece by piece. Like I made this list of all the stuff like during the pandemic that I was going to accomplish. And then like 4 days later, I was like, I feel so overwhelmed. And the Lord was just like, of course you do, because that list is ridiculous. You know, like what skill set did you think you developed when you went into a pandemic? Because he is not like us, you know, and he's not a hard taskmaster. Inviting him into anything is freeing and it is life-giving. And he takes us very gently through the process. And so I think if this is the first time you're hearing about it, it's like anything. It's if you've never exercised before and you're listening to somebody that's been doing it for 20 years, it's like, wow, you're doing like all the things. And you don't start with all the things. So just piece by piece and bit by bit and let him lead you. And I will say, unfortunately, the biggest thing that usually motivates us is pain. You know, sometimes we will stay in dysfunction until it is too uncomfortable to stay there anymore. And I would love to say that I have always just been very proactive, and there are areas I have. I've been proactive because I just wanted more. But then there are a lot of areas that were hard and they were difficult. And I sat there as long as I could until I was like, no, I'm just too miserable to stay here anymore. Like I can't keep operating in this because it is now making me more uncomfortable than it is bringing me comfort.
In the middle.
And listen, I want to circle back around to the Netflix, the 10 hours of Netflix.
Yeah.
I do not think that is not a lifestyle, right? We don't want to live a lifestyle of Netflix binge, but I just do think there are days when the Lord is like, it is okay to just go and check out for a few hours. Like sometimes you just need it. For some people, like for me, I've started this thing where I just go in my backyard and I pull up these little weeds that are coming up. They don't even need to be pulled up. They will die on their own, but it lets my brain stop thinking. Like I'm just like looking for these things and pulling them up. And so sometimes we just need that. So lifting off the shame of like, if you need a day, you know, there is this thing in the Bible called the Sabbath. What does the Sabbath look like? It was not meant to be another day of work. It was meant to be rest. What's restful to you? And that's a conversation you have with the Lord. Like, what does rest really look like for me? It may not be the same thing every week, but maybe it is. Maybe rest for you is watching TV.
And I think that's an important aspect of it too, that I haven't really thought about, is just, are you inviting the Lord into that decision? And you mentioned like, if you think you need that, consult with him on it and ask him about it, and he'll be honest to tell you if you do or not. And that's how you kind of figure out if that's what you need for the day or if that's just what you're being complacent in because you don't want to go do what God's calling you to do for the day, which is unhealthy. So I think that's a really cool thing to consider if you are struggling with whether that's a restful need or an act of rebellion against what you're supposed to be working on that day.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, one of the things I find is when I feel myself being pulled too often into wanting to just check out, and I'm like, I just want to go, I just want to go watch a movie, or I just want to go watch a series. And I'll ask the Lord why, you know, what's going on? Like, this is day three of this. What's happening inside of me? And I usually, for me, the answer is usually you feel overwhelmed. But I don't stop there, because I've done that too often. And what I hear in myself is, yeah, you need to get up and you need to do all the stuff that you know you're supposed to do, which is the list that I make for myself, which the Lord has begun to teach me that I make ridiculous lists. So of course it's overwhelming. And so if I would even go, you know, back it up and just say at that point, okay, so I'm checking out because I feel overwhelmed. What's overwhelming me? Why do I not want to do that? Or is it the sheer volume of things that I think I have to do? Is it one particular thing? And anytime I have to go do my bills, like that is a trigger of fear for me. So I will procrastinate and I will put it off. And that's when I'm like, I'm going to do that tomorrow morning. I'm going to watch a movie tonight. And I will tell myself, I just need to rest. But the reality is I am avoiding something that makes me afraid. Mm-hmm. And as I have those conversations with the Lord, it doesn't make it easier in the moment, but I understand more what's happening. It gives the Lord the opportunity to tell me, you know, you're not alone. When you sit down with that task that you don't want to do, I am with you. I am in it with you. We're never on this side of heaven going to get to a place where nothing is a struggle. But if we can stay relational with the Lord in the struggle, if we can remember we're not struggling alone, He is in it with us. He is 100% for us. He never sets himself against us as his people. You know, everything he's doing in us and with us and through us is always for redemptive purposes. And we can trust that and we can wade into the more difficult places.
So you mentioned burnout a few minutes ago. And so I have been overwhelmed by the amount of people that have said they are feeling burned out even in this pandemic season of, you know, Zoom burnout. Aren't we all done with Zoom? So for someone that is at that point of total burnout, like has not had these healthy rhythms, has not taken time to remain relational with the Lord, but they are, say, in a ministry context. Most of our leaders listening are currently in the field and they are at a place of total burnout. What are some things they can do or that they should do?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize they are not alone. This is such an unusual time. And I think it's like this crazy thing when you are somebody in ministry and kind of what you're hearing from people is, or what I'm hearing from people is, you know, I have so much time. My relationship with the Lord is great. I have so much time with him. And as a pastor, I'm not feeling that way. I feel like I have less time than I had before, which is weird because it feels like I'm living in all of this dead space, you know, like it's just like there's no schedule and there's no time. We have to have grace for ourselves that we are in a worldwide crisis. And just because we are leaders in ministry doesn't make us exempt from its effects. And there are a couple things that come in and happen that affect our own mental health. And so recognizing how these things are affecting us helps with the burnout because it helps us recognize what's going on. And the first thing is this pandemic has disrupted our connections with other people and with community. And so everything's gone to virtual. And if you're not used to doing that, it's like you're learning how to navigate new tools in the middle of an incredibly stressful time. Like that takes mental energy and that takes some physical energy and emotional energy. And we're already in a high stress environment where a lot of that is just maxed out. And then it's broken down our structure and our routine. Almost everybody's routine has drastically changed through this. And we're made for some kind of structure and routine. Like the Lord put boundaries around day and night, and he put seasons, and he told the Jewish people, you know, he gave them festivals to mark time. Like, we were made for some kind of rhythm and structure, and we've lost that, which increases our stress. And that takes a toll on our emotional and physical energy. So recognizing that you're being tapped on from all these different areas, and then people are so afraid and have so much need, so they're pulling on you more as a leader. Of course you feel burnout. Like, of course. Like, this is totally, why would you not? Mm-hmm. So what can you do in this is, one, create some boundaries around yourself. Like, recognize, where are you tapped out? Is it mostly in your physical energy? Is it the emotional? For me, it's emotional energy. Like, that just goes. And when there's a lot of crisis around me and it's pulling on me from all directions, because I feel so deeply for people and what they're going through that it can just drain me. So I have to be careful how many of those conversations that I enter into and for how long. So if I am on a Zoom call for an hour or 2 hours with people in crisis, I cannot get off that Zoom call and go outside and talk to my neighbor who is in crisis for an hour. Like, I've got to give myself some time to refill and to build my storehouses back up of what I have to offer. And so you may feel like, well, I have all of this time. I should be able to be on these Zoom calls all day long, or phone calls all day long, or out talking to people in my community all day long. And it's like, no, you actually may have less capacity right now, and you need to recognize it. And whether you like it or not, I don't like that my emotional energy decreases. I don't like that about me, but it is the reality. And if I pretend it's not, then I'm done. I'm toast. I'm going to wear myself out, and I'm not going to show up as the best version of myself, because I am going to be grouchy and resentful. Mm-hmm. And in all of this, we ask the Lord, like, we need your strength. We need you. You know, there are some things we just have to do, and we've got to rely on his strength for that. But then there are other times we're just not being wise. We're giving more than he's asking us to give, and we're doing more than he's asking us to do. And so then maybe pulling back on the unnecessary things, you know, the things that are a pull on your energy that you don't have to do. Maybe you want to do it, but in this season, it's like, that's not the most important. So maybe you need to reprioritize right now what would normally be in a normal schedule and a normal month. This would be my priority. And right now, like, if that doesn't get done, it's going to be okay, because these other things are more important.
Yeah, you said a word that I don't know where I want to go with it, but I just think it's important to maybe dive into more. It's just boundaries. And I think when people are in a service role where they feel that their job and their calling in life is to serve other people, putting boundaries around yourself can be really, really difficult. Whether you're a parent and you feel like you have no time for yourself or your relationship with God, or you're a teacher and you just feel like you can't step away from the school ever, or you're a missionary who just, you feel like every minute you have to be serving someone. What are some of the first steps to creating boundaries for yourself that don't, what's the best way to phrase this? That maybe don't impede on your desire to serve, or how you feel like you are serving others. What are some, like, first steps to making healthy boundaries that protect your own space and your own time?
Gosh, that's good. And I see this so much with missionaries, because they have such a love for the people that they've gone to serve, and that they want to just pour themselves out for them. And I would say, one, you've got to go back to the Gospels and invite the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we read the stories of Jesus, but we read it with a certain mindset of, like, see how he did this and did this. But I would say read the Gospels and invite the Holy Spirit to show you what Jesus is doing. And Jesus says repeatedly to the disciples when they tell him, we should go do this, or when people are saying, you have to come, so-and-so is sick, you have to come. And Jesus waits for 3 days because he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And I only say what the Father tells me to say. And so first, the best boundary we can have is to get ourselves into the most intimate relationship with the Father that we can and invite Him into everything. And then if this is somewhere you are really bad at navigating, like you've never done this before and you have no boundaries, start with some basics of just what the human body needs, which is 8 hours of sleep. Put some boundaries around your rest. Put some boundaries around your meals. Like you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to have some time with the Lord. And if what you're seeing right now is you have days that any of those three things you consistently don't have time for, like we all have moments where like it's a late night or we skip a meal or we missed our quiet time. But I'm saying if you are living in a season where you are consistently missing any of those three things, then I would say that is a good marker that you've got some boundary issues happening. And just by implementing those three things, it will help you.
I think subsequently to that, whenever you put a boundary up, inevitably someone is going to be upset that maybe you've created that boundary for yourself. So what would you tell people who are struggling with the backlash that people might have? Maybe a boss is thinking you're not working as hard because you took that boundary and took a step away from work, or a family member is mad that you have protected your own space and they don't understand. What would be some advice you'd give to someone struggling with the outcome of creating boundaries that are good and life-giving for them?
This is another great place that you're going to feel like all my answers are intimacy with the Father. but really, like our identity has got to come from Him. And it is so hard when people push back on our boundaries, because especially when you're a leader and you want to serve and you want to help people. And one thing that helps me to keep that in perspective, instead of getting sucked into the like, well, I don't want to miss, I don't want people to feel like, you know, the Lord doesn't care for them because, you know, I don't have time for them, or people really need to find the Lord for themselves. Like they need to come to a place where they're having encounters with the Lord. And if I am regularly the go-between, you know, if I'm the person meeting the needs, if I'm the person that's there every time they need me, then there's no place for the struggle. And that's not to leave people floundering and alone, but it's like, hey, they have a choice in that place of being unhappy with my decision, or feeling like I'm not available for them, or feeling like I'm not meeting a need that they have. That's an opportunity for them to meet with the Lord that they might not have had if I keep putting myself in as that substitute. And then just personally, having to realize that boundaries is, they are for keeping you in this for the long haul. I have people in my life that would use up every resource I had if I let them. I have a responsibility to steward what the Lord has given me, which is, it's not just my time, it's not just my money, but it's the amount of energy that I have. And it's where I am investing resources. Like, did Jesus give me these resources to pour them all into this one job or this one person? Or where has He called me to spend my resources, and how do I steward that well? So when I look at myself as a steward of those things, that also helps. It helps me look at it less like a boundary of trying to keep someone out and more of a responsibility of what am I doing with that, what I've been given.
So I want to ask you about one other topic, because and it is about forgiveness. As people are starting, if they start to pursue health or start to set up boundaries, we obviously there will be things that come up that we need to forgive. And so how can someone go about starting a forgiveness process?
I would say forgiveness is probably one of the most important skills that we can learn as a Christian is just how to really and truly forgive. And we can only do that in cooperation with the Lord. You know, we don't have the capacity, but we can make the choice and align ourselves with this is who God is. God is a God of mercy, and He is a God of forgiveness. And that's what I want to carry. And so my little disclaimer with this is that does not mean we stay in abusive situations. That does not mean we excuse behaviors that are damaging and harmful. Like, I don't think you can truly forgive someone if you're not even truly naming what you're forgiving. Like, if we're minimizing it, and if we're, you know, forgiveness is not just saying, well, that was not really that big a deal. Like, forgiveness is looking it square in the face and just saying, like Joseph did when his brothers had, like, they tried to kill him and they sold him into slavery. Like, I can't even imagine that kind of betrayal from your family members. And when he sees them years later, he says, what you meant for evil, God used for good. He did not sugarcoat that. Like, they meant evil. Their intent was evil. But he was able to forgive them because he had such a relationship with the Lord that he knew God's purposes are always redemptive. And what I love in this is because, you know, we all like to think of ourselves as Joseph, who is like the benevolent forgiver. But sometimes we are the brothers and we do things and our heart's not right and we cause harm and then we get stuck in shame because we just can't move past what we've done. And what I love about this story is the very thing that the brothers, the evil that the brothers did to attempt to destroy Joseph, God actually used it not just for Joseph's good, but for their own salvation. When the famine hit, if Joseph wasn't where he was, their family wouldn't have made it. Like, the Lord was even making provision through their own sin. Like, that's how good He is. And so I think the key to forgiveness is whether you need to forgive or you need to be forgiven, is getting our eyes off of ourselves and off of other people and onto the Lord and how big He is and how He can take these things like humanity could never make right. You know, like, this was so wrong. You can never undo this, but God can do something beautiful with it. And that is the promise of forgiveness for everyone involved.
Yeah. I had a really wise counselor one time tell me that forgiveness is essentially not that you're forgetting the hurt that happened to you, but that you are releasing someone from their expectation that you have created for them to make it up to you. That's been a really freeing way for me to think about forgiveness, is letting people go who've hurt me of their expectation that I have that eventually they're going to come back and make it up to me, and just saying, I release you from this hurt, and it still hurts, but I don't expect you to make it right, because the Lord did that for me and has done that for all of us. So
yeah, that's so good. And it's so true. It's like we get stuck wanting someone to make up for, and sometimes there are things that just, even if, you know, I have scenarios where the Lord has asked me, like, okay, so best case scenario, and they came back to you and they're truly repentant and they want to make it right, what can they do? And I was like, nothing. Like, they really can't, other than apologize. The damage that's been done, they can't fix. They can't undo this. And so that's the beautiful part about being able to hand it to the Lord and just say, this person owes me a debt they can never repay, but you redeem everything. You repay all the losses. And He's real faithful. It may not look like what we thought it would look like, but we know He's for us and He's good. And He will bring something really good out of it. I would just say, with all the things that we talked about, wherever you are in this, I think the biggest thing the enemy uses is shame and fear. And so if there's anything that rises up in you that's just like, that sounds so far from where I am, or that just sounds really hard, that's not the voice of the Lord. And anything I've shared are tools and things that have worked for me. And the Lord has like a healing path for every one of us. And yours may not look like mine. I can only share from the experience that I've had, but the heart of the Lord is that you would be whole. And how he gets you there is between you and him. But he is 100% committed to your wholeness. And so don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of saying, yes, Jesus, I want the wholeness that you promised. I want the wholeness that I was created for. Because that is not, it's not scary when you're with him. It may have moments that are difficult, but it's all worth it because it's all a journey with the one who loves you more than anyone.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Brooke. And thank you for being a voice of just loving kindness with people as you walk healing processes with lots of people and share so openly about your process and your story. And I am personally just so grateful for the way that that has brought truth and illumination in areas of my life that I needed to allow and invite the Lord into for healing. So thank you so much for giving your time and your wisdom and sharing that with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wasn't she great?
Whew, I feel like that hit me like 100 different ways from Tuesday. So I'm going to have to take time to process. Think through a lot of that on my own, but hopefully there's a lot of stuff there that people can take for their own personal lives. I know I'm going to take away a few key things from that conversation.
I love how she talks about just inviting the Lord into everything and realizing that that is something he's willing to do. He's willing to go there with us. He is willing to sit with us. And I'm just so grateful that we serve a God that is so personal with us and will deal with us face to face.
Not just willing to sit down with us, but he desires intimacy with us. And I think that's something I often forget. And I think like, God's too busy to hear about my workout schedule today. Like God's too important to sit down with me and listen to me pray about whether I need to go to the gym for an hour and 15 minutes. But I think Brooke really reminded me that, no, that's the desire of his heart, is to sit down with his children and to be a part of those conversations. Because unless you're having those conversations with him, you're not going to get the feedback or really the awareness of what you're doing is healthy or glorifying to him. And if we want to know what's glorifying to the Lord, who better to ask than him himself? So one thing Brooke talked about that I was going to ask you to follow up on, Becca, is maybe for someone who's just new to faith, the term inviting him into things sounds a little confusing, or you don't know where to start with that. So in your opinion, what does it look like to actively invite God into just daily decisions? What would that look like?
I think it looks like just asking a question, asking and waiting to hear the Lord. And people love talking about how to hear the Lord. And I feel like that's, you know, seems like a mystical conversation, but really diving into scripture and letting that be the thing we measure up what we're feeling in our heart and feeling in our soul. Just asking and then listening and waiting for him to respond, because he will respond, and trusting that he'll do that faithfully.
So I think for me, two things that I heard Brooke say that I really wanted to take away was that being emotionally and spiritually and physically healthy, all those things combined, really takes two things, if you wanted to boil it down to two. But the first would be honesty with yourself and with others and with the Lord first and foremost. Honesty about where you're at in life, what you're struggling with in life, what you need for the day. You have to be really honest with it. But then you also have to have accountability. So she mentioned just having people around you that are going to help you through moments and be honest with you in return. And she also said having people that you've invited into that conversation, that you've given permission to speak into that area of your life, people whose opinions that you trust. So what would you say for someone who might be lacking in those two areas?
To seek out community. We were made for connection. And I love the point that she made that you know, God created the garden and it was beautiful and had all good things in it. And he created Adam to enjoy it and to work it. And at the end, he was still like, you need somebody. You still need connection. And so we have to seek out community and accountability. And that's one of the main things that CV tries to push, is being sure that we are a safe place for people to have those conversations and to provide a space for them to invite the Lord into those things with some other voices that say, no, that's not the voice of God. That is, Satan is using that and twisting that. This is what's true. And I think we all need that in life. We need those people that we can go to and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Is this true or is it not? And someone that you trust to say, yeah, maybe that is a hard thing you need to work on. Or someone to say, no, I think Satan is really coming at you with those things.
Yeah, I would just also like to clarify, clear up, add those two together, for the viewers that, don't ask my husband or my mom, but I don't sit and watch 10 hours of Netflix a day. They will both tell you otherwise. It's not that bad, but I do need to be praying about it more.
If you have any questions or you want to connect, you can email us at chosen.vessels.inc@gmail.com, or you can find us on chosenvesselsonline.org. Thanks for joining us.